Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, I want to speak to you just for a moment. A couple weeks ago, we talked on the subject of trials. And in talking about that, we mentioned the fact that when we pray, that makes a difference in a trial. When we remember the promises of God, that makes a difference in the trial. When we remember the plan of God and rejoice in the plan of God, that makes a difference in a trial. I want to add a P. So we got pray, we got promise, we got plan, and I want to add one more P, and the word is preach, all right? So we're going to talk about preaching to yourself in a trial. Turn to somebody and say, preach to yourself, all right? Turn to the other neighbor, your second choice, and say, preacher, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe we could do a little show of hands in the room tonight, but if you had to do public speaking, you would say that, hey, that is not for me. I'm just not into getting up in front of people. In fact, I want to embarrass you right now. Would you put your hand up loud and proud and say, no public speaking for me? Three people. All right. How many? Now, some of you, you're probably like, get me the microphone. If you handed me the microphone right now, I would preach the best sermon in the entire world because I was made for this, people. I'm ready in season, out season. I don't know where you land in that zone. If maybe you're like, I don't mind getting in front of people, or maybe you're like, I love getting in front of people. But either way, it's so important that you learn the power of preaching to yourself. The power of preaching to yourself. All throughout the Psalms, you see different times when the psalmist writing, whether David or a different writer, saying, you know what? I'm going to preach to myself in this moment. Psalm 3, Psalm 31. Tonight we're looking at Psalm 42. And you see them they're walking through a situation, and then they take a moment to break away from that and just begin to preach to themselves. Preach to themselves about the goodness of God. Preach to themselves about the promise of God. Preach to themselves about what God is going to do in their situation, even though they don't see it at that moment. God is going to make a difference in their situation, and they start preaching to themselves. Now, I don't know if you're walking through a trial tonight, but if you are, I want to encourage you to preach to yourself, because in doing that, that's going to be the thing that helps lift you out of that trial. You know, when we begin to speak the word of God to ourselves, that begins to lift our heart. It begins to put faith in our heart. You know, at any moment, probably, maybe, right now, you're talking to yourself. How many of you are like, man, I know I talk to myself. I talk to myself all the time. If you do a long commute, you probably talk to yourself in your car. You're talking to yourself about other people and how they're driving and how you're a better driver than they are. You're talking to yourself about what you're going to get for dinner when you get home. You're talking to yourself about what you're going to do on the weekend. You're talking to yourself about, hey, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that mistake today at work. Oh, I wish they wouldn't have said that to me. You're talking to yourself about everything, and that's very normal to do that. But when we're talking to ourselves, it's important that we remember that what we're saying to ourselves needs to align with the word of God. The fact of the matter is, we're always preaching a sermon to ourselves. But are we preaching a sermon that's theologically biblical and accurate, or are we preaching ourselves a sermon that isn't faith-filled, that isn't in line with the word of God, and that's not taking us down the path that God would have us go? And so when we're walking through a trial, it's important to take inventory of the words we're speaking to ourselves, that they're in line with the word of God. But trials have a way of changing our words, don't they? Yeah. Trials have a way, as we talked about last time, of distorting our perspective. Trials have a way of making us question the things that we know are true. And when we walk into that moment, it can honestly cause what you might call a spiritual depression. A moment where you feel like I'm down and I don't know if I can get up. A moment where you feel like I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. I don't know if I can have hope for this particular situation. I don't know what the future is going to hold, and your faith feels low, and you're walking through what you might call a spiritual depression. In Psalm 42, we're looking at a psalm where somebody's walking through exactly that. They're walking through a moment where preaching to themselves becomes super important because the stakes are high, because what they're walking through is extremely hard. And they find themselves in a low place. In fact, they say, my soul is downcast. My soul is cast down. This is a person that's really walking through a trial. And so I think for a moment, as we look at this, it's important for us to see what can put you in that place. Because it's not just the things that are happening on the outside that put you there. You know, how many of you know you've walked through a trial at one time and you're like, man, I did pretty good through that trial. I was faith-filled. Man, that was hard, but I believed God and God helped me and I went through with strength. And that's a great thing when you can do that. But how many of you know, so there's something that can be bad that's happening on the outside, but it's not necessarily the thing that's external, but it's the internal. Is the internal healthy? And what's happening on the inside as you walk through a trial that really matters? So let's look at Psalm 42. We're gonna kind of see first where this person was at. In verse 1, it says, as a deer pants for flowing streams of water, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So as he's saying this, I want you to be careful not to just picture like, just a poster that has a deer placidly drinking by a stream with a verse under it that says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul, Lord, longs for you. When shall I go to meet with God? You know, that's my best. I don't know what accent that is, actually. I don't know. That was for you. It was my gift to you. But we got to be careful because that's not where this person's at. They're not in a placid zone. They're saying, as a deer who's exhausted and thirsty plants for a stream of water, so my soul longs for God. When am I going to go meet with God? And what they're saying is, I'm tired and I'm dry. God, I'm walking through a trial, and God, this is hard. And I find myself, God, tired and dry. I'm exhausted. You know, Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach, said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. There's something about a physical exhaustion and an emotional fatigue that can make you tired in your soul, can make you dry in your soul, can make you feel like, I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can go another day because I'm exhausted. I'm tired. This is a person that's not sleeping. We see in verse 3 that he says, my tears have been my food day and night. So they're not sleeping. They're tired. There's an anxiety that's keeping them awake, keeping them thinking about the problem, keeping them thinking about the future, keeping them thinking about their dread. And it says that my tears have been my food day and night, meaning that there's an emotional exhaustion that's happening there. That can cause you to be in a spiritual depression. This person's confused. Verse 9, it says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? Verse 2, and 2, the second half of the verse, it says, when shall I come and appear before God? What this person is saying, why have you forgotten me? Why is this even happening to me? Why am I going through this? God, I don't understand. God, I'm living for you. God, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. God, why would I be walking through this situation? You know, that confusion and those kind of questions when you're walking through a trial can cause a spiritual depression. When those questions start eating at you and you start asking a lot of why questions that you may never get the answer to. Why did this happen? Why here? Why now? Why when things were going so well? Why? And that's the kind of questions this person's asking. Why are these people attacking me? Why is there always somebody attacking me, God? Why? And those kind of confusion, you know, those are questions that while you're walking through them, you may never know the answer to them. But because you've allowed the question to become so big in your heart and your mind, it's eating at you and it's causing a spiritual depression. The question's causing more fatigue than the trial ever did or ever would because you've allowed the question to become so big. And that question's eating at you. It's very hard when you get in that place. It's very hard. It's very challenging to move forward when those questions are there and that confusion's there about why you're walking through what you're walking through. And that's exactly where this person's at. Number 3, they're attacked. So not only are they tired, Not only are they wondering why, but they're under attack, a verbal attack. Verse 10 says this, as with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. So what they're saying is that people have said things into them, said things to them, that whether they like it or not, whether they wanted that or not, the attack has pierced into their core. It's into my bones. What they're saying is it's there and I can't get it out. You know, have you ever had somebody speak a word into your life, say something to you that as much as you didn't want it to get on the inside, it did, and then it kind of sat there? That's where they're at. The words that have been spoken into them are staying in them, and they're eating at them, and it's causing them to be depressed. It's causing a spiritual depression. Maybe there's something that's been said over you at work. Maybe somebody said something to you, and as much as you want to move forward full of faith and believe the promises of God, and as much as you want to not let that thing get to you, those words, as they come to you, they pierce like a sword, and they've gotten in your bones. They've gotten inside of you, and you can't get over them. And so you find yourself in that place of spiritual depression. And so, and maybe that's a person that's speaking that lack of faith into you. Like, why? You know, I see you're walking through this. If you're walking through this, I thought you were a Christian. Where's your God in that? And that word is just in you. And that's exactly where they're at. They say this in verse 10b, where is your God? Why they say to me all day long, where is your God? And that's caused you to ask that same question. God, where are you? God, where are you? This has been a long trial, God. Where are you? God, do you see where I'm at? God, do you care where I'm at? God, do you know what I'm walking through? And you're believing the words that have been spoken over your life, and you're rehearsing them, and those have become the words that you preach to yourself. The words that you preach to yourself. And you need to get a different sermon. You need to get a different sermon. There is hope for you. There's hope for what you're walking through. And that's not a platitude. That's not a nice saying. That comes straight out of the word of God for you, that he loves you, he cares about you. But there's power in prayer, and God is going to change your situation. But you got to get a word for your situation, a word for your soul, and begin to preach that to yourself, because that's what's going to make the difference. So as this person's listening to this, and then we read in verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. So I think it's important to recognize that part of walking with God is when you walk through hard times, you're not denying the facts. It's okay to be a Christian and say, I'm walking through a hard time, you know, and not be like, nothing's wrong with me. I'm great. I'm a Christian. No. You are, but you're confused, all right? At the same time, and I think it's important to say this as well, some people so value their being real and so value their negativity that they just say, hey, it is what it is. I'm real, man. And anybody who's happy all the time and believes God isn't real, and that is a lie. And that's honestly, it's better to hang around with the person that's trying to fake it till they make it than the person who values their negativity that they wear it like it's a badge, because that will damage your Christianity. And so I don't know if that's a word for you. That's not in the notes, okay? But it's true. That is so true. You want to be around faith-filled people, okay? So when I say that about that, there are people that struggle with, they feel like it's not faith to, if they said, I'm walking through a trial, they would feel like that's a lack of faith. Faith is not saying that I'm not walking through a trial. It's not denying the trial. It's saying that I'm walking through this. You know, Paul said, I'm not going to quote this exactly, but you know, we're crushed, but not, oh man, I got to read it right now. I'm just going to get it. Yeah, pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Thank you, Josh. You know, but I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So what does a Christian do? A Christian recognizes where they're at, but they speak faith. So I love that. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Some people, they live in the struck down. They're like, oh, I'm so struck down. I'm struck down and I'm just being real. It's a hard time. And then that's where they are. And some people are like, I'm not destroyed. Nothing ever touches me. Nothing's wrong. Where you live as a Christian, biblically, is I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Overwhelming victory is mine in Christ, all right? So, talking about preaching to yourself, as we go into this thought and where they do this, and it's really powerful, but I want to share with you a quote. It's from a guy named Martin Lloyd-Jones out of a book called Spiritual Depression, but I think it really vividly puts on display what we need to do as believers. We'll put it on the screen. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, why art thou cast down? What business do you have to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, exhort yourself, say to yourself, hope thou in God, instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God and who God is and what God is and what God has done and what God has pledged himself to do. And then having done that, in the end on this great note, defy yourself, defy other people, defy the devil and the whole world, and say with this man, who we're going to read in just a second, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, who is also the health of my countenance and my God. Can we give God some praise right now? Isn't that cool? So we read this same psalmist who says, you know what, my soul is cast down. We read in verse 11, they say this, why are you cast down, O my soul? They're not asking a question of like, man, they're not like this. They're not like, man, I'm really going through something. Am I really going through something? Why am I so down? No, it's not like they've got some confusion going on. We just read why they're downcast. People are talking bad about them. Man, they're not sleeping. They're fatigued. They're walking through a situation where it's confusing, where there could be a lot of why questions about, God, I just don't understand why I'm going through this. But they say, you know what? I know who God is. So I'm gonna ask my soul, rather than let my soul and my emotions control the direction that I'm going, I'm gonna ask my soul and I'm gonna say, you know what? Why, when you serve the God of the universe, when you serve a God who sent his son to die for you, who loves you, who adopted you, who cares about you, why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. Hope in God. You know, it's a powerful thing to hope in God. It's a powerful thing. Maybe you've lost your hope. Maybe you've lost your heart for the battle because you've lost your hope. Your faith is low. You need to challenge yourself and say, you know what? I believe God's on the throne. I believe he's able. I believe he sees my situation and I believe he's going to help me, and I'm gonna put my hope in God. And instead of listening to that over and over and over again, what everything I could be speaking, listening to what people are saying about me, listen to what I'm feeling, listen to what I feel like is gonna happen down in the future, you know, if God doesn't help me. Instead of listening to that, I'm gonna say, you know what? I serve a God who's a God who gives promises and promises that he keeps. I serve a God who loves me. And why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. I love that. You know what that is? That's a declaration of faith. It's not just to say hope, but it's saying, you know what, God, I know that there is an end to this trial, and I know on that end, I'm gonna be praising you. I know you're gonna help me. I know you're gonna come through. You know, God's gonna come through for you. God's gonna come through for you. The hard part is sometimes that takes some time. But just because it takes time doesn't mean God's not gonna help you. Hope in God. You're gonna yet praise him. You're gonna praise him. You put your hope in God. Those who hope in him are never disappointed, the Bible says. You will praise him. Hope in God. I love that. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Do you know what the help of my countenance means? That means that God can make your face change. So instead of walking around like this, I hope something good's gonna happen here. You're gonna walk around like this. I believe God's gonna help me. And people are gonna look at you and they're gonna think are you really connecting? You're like, no, I know I'm going through a really hard time. It has been hard, but God's gonna help me. But there's gonna be faith in your heart because you preach to yourself. And you didn't just preach any sermon, you preached the word of God to yourself. And I'll tell you the difference maker in preaching is prayer. Because if you don't pray before you preach, you're not gonna preach a very good sermon. It's one thing to say truth. It's another thing to say truth under the power of the Holy Spirit. And God uses it to pierce your heart and build faith. And then you're not gonna preach a good sermon if you don't pray and you don't preach the word. So when I say preach to yourself, don't just tell yourself, you can do this, you can make this, you know, you can make it. You know, you need to preach a real sermon to yourself and pray that God gives you a word from the word, that God gives you a word about your situation, and then preach that. Psalm 103, and we're gonna open the altars with this, but Psalm 103 really puts this on display in a beautiful way. It says, this is somebody who's preaching to themselves. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sin, all your iniquity, and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying his voice of his the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, all his places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, the power in it is when oftentimes we read a scripture like that and we completely write ourselves out of the scripture. We're like, oh, that's really good, man. Oh, man, that's great. But then when it goes to applying it to ourselves, we kind of miss it. But when you start to put your name in the scripture, it starts to make a difference. You know, we got Jody here on the front row. So here's how Jody, and I hope this brings it to life for how you need to preach it to yourself. Bless the Lord, O Jody's soul. That's the sermon she's going to preach to herself. And all that's within Jody, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O Jody's soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all Jody's sin and heals all Jody's diseases, who redeems Jody's life from the pit and crowns Jody with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies Jody with good and renews her youth like the eagles. You know, God wants to satisfy me with good. Brandon, God's gonna satisfy you with some good. You may not see it right now, but good's just around the corner because there's a God who loves you and cares about you, and you will yet praise him, who's the help of your countenance and the lifter of your head. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You got to preach to yourself, but you got to get a word for yourself, and that comes by being in the presence of the Lord in prayer. So you made a great decision to be here. If you're walking through a trial, you made a great decision to be here. God brought you here to encourage you. The presence of the Lord here is because he loves you. You're not locked out of his presence. You might be saying, God, where are you? But it's not because God's far from you. God loves you and he cares about you. And if you press into his presence, he's gonna give you a word and you start to preach to yourself, start to build your faith. You'll walk through that trial and you'll say, God, I don't understand all of it, but in the end, God, I walk closer to you. It was good that you afflicted me, God. I know you better, God, and I know you come through, and I know you answer prayer, and I know you walk close to those who are walking through a trial, and I know you never left me, God. I know you're with me. Get a word, preach it to yourself, and watch God build your faith, all right?